will start a little early today. Please join me in saying the Abakoa. Anna Abakoa. Matrimon, six letters, 506. Connexus is Akbatina, unconditional love. And all God, Bab Shimresh. Bab Shimresh is the name that connects us to memories, and memories that lets us see the patterns in our life where we made mistakes. Belrinat Asasa Kamayu Kufishayan Sintetnun. These six letters spell two Hebrew words, Kra, which means tear up, and Satan, which is the name of the negative force that gives us free will. The same letters can be rearranged to spell Sha'arkatan, which means small gates. And it's again a reminder to us to guard our gates, our eyes, ears, nose, and mouth, which are the entry points of the negative system. Nagibor Dorseh through its gematria of 57 connects us to the Hebrew Zan, which means Parnasa, also means sustenance. Yudkav Shin is a sequence that helps us take back the energy we've given to the negative system through our mistakes. Barchem Tacharem Rakame Sitkarcha The letter Kaf created the planet we call the Sun. The Sun has two names, and it helps us to understand the people who were born in the month of Av. The two names are Shemesh, which means servant, and Choten, which means hot. When the Leo people are in their spiritual work and are connected to the Creator, they receive information about other people. And when they share that information, they're being a servant, and the other people hear them. And when that they're not doing their spiritual work, they hear that information, but they burn the people because they're not open to hear them. And the Tet, the energy, the duality, the two lines, one curved and one straight. The Tet created the constellation Aryeh. Aryeh means lion, but it also has a gematria of 216, which is the number of letters in the two names of God. The middle two letters of this verse, Betet Resh Sadi Tav Gimel, Resh Sadi, has a gematria of 290. That gematria is the name Miriam. Miriam, who acted as a midwife for the birthing of the Jewish children during the stay in Egypt after the decree by Pharaoh. Miriam and her mother Jochebed, refused to kill the males, and therefore were responsible for the continuity of the Jewish people. This is a good connection for someone who wants to have a child. It's a good connection for growing a soulmate, maintaining a soulmate, enhancing a soulmate. Chasim Kadosh Rovcha Nael This sequence connects us to Sefirah of Hod and its attribute of appreciation and thankfulness. This sequence helps to speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this period of our generation. Shavatenu Kabel The first two letters, Shin and Guf, have a gematria of 400, which connects us to perfection and completion. The last four letters, gematria 506, like the first verse, connects us to unconditional love and memories through the name of God, Bav Shin Resh. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper. Read from the Zohar, from the Parasha of Ekev. This is the first time
Hanok, I am getting static online. I'm getting static on my line.
Does anybody have their microphone open now?
I put it off.
Are you getting that when I speak?
It might be the telephone, I don't know.
Well, the phone wouldn't be good to deal with it. I think it may be coming from me because I'm using a lot of CPU this morning. I'm doing some backup on my computer. I wasn't thinking when I was doing it, so I apologize.
You coming?
But if everybody else has their microphone off and I turn mine off, you won't be able to hear me. So,
no, like you're breaking up bad.
Say again, Chris.
You're breaking up. You're not coming through hardly at all.
Try disconnecting and call back, Chris. That usually cures that. Okay? It's better. I'm reading from the Zohar from the Parashat Ekev, meditation for a blessing, the first verse in the first section. Vayehinu Adonai Eloheinu aleihem maaseh yadeinu kureneh aleinu maaseh yadeinu kureneh. V'hayah ekev tishmun et ha-mishpatim ha-eile gomer v'akalta v'shavata uvarata et Adonai Elohecha v'gomer v'kudada debarka le'lukucha barifu al-kol ha-diakil v'shate v'itane v'hay alma v'ila berich ipre gazlan l'gabe kucha barifu diktiv gozel aviv v'imo v'ha oknocha havraya v'gine v'irchan v'barich v'arnash l'kucha barifu Ate liam shaka, chayin mimkora, dechaya lishme, dekucha baruchu, kadisha. Ularka, ale mehahu, misha ila'a, viate itmasha mitaman, Wherefore it shall come to pass, if you hearken to these judgments, when you have eaten and are replete, then you shall bless Hashem your Elohim. We are commanded to bless the Holy One, blessed be, for everything we eat and drink and enjoy in this world. He who does not bless is considered as stealing from the Holy One. Blessed be he. As it is written, he who robbed his father or his mother, a verse from Proverbs. And the friends explain that it applies to the Holy One, blessed be he. The blessings that a person gives the Holy One, blessed be he, are meant to draw life from the source of life, which is Bina, to the holy name of the Holy One, blessed be he. And these blessings are to pour on him from that supernal oil, that is the abundance of Ma. From there it is then drawn upon the whole world. The verse is straightforward. Most people in our country, in our world, do not bless anymore when they're eating. Maybe do it in a not in the Hebrew, maybe they do it in the language of their usage. Let's hope so, because it is considered stealing. And stealing is something that you should do according to the Esther Dibro, and also just from the standpoint of you're not getting the full amount of the energy when you do that. And you're abusing the system. It's really not a good thing, and ignorance is no excuse under the law. But that sounds a little harsh, and it's not meant to be harsh. So, Baruch Hashem, we are forgiven much of what we do because of the nature of the because of God's mercy, the way the system is set up. If you're not aware of it, it doesn't excuse you. There's still an effect that is harmful or less beneficial. But it's also that the system does not... Justice means that it's not strict judgment for someone who's not knowledgeable. But... Does anybody have any questions before we start talking about the Gimel? I'm going to ask Batya to hold up the Gimel. If you look at the Gimel, there's a couple of things that are kind of unusual. Well, Okay, thank you, Bacha. But I want to point out a couple of things on the letter Gimel. First off, this is the first letter in the alphabet that has three tagim. Tagim means the crowns. Secondly, the shape of the letter, it's made from a vav and a yud. The foot at the bottom is considered a yud, and the line itself is a vav. It's a little bit tilted. But in the scribes, they can also make it as a Zion. When it's made as a Vav and a Yud, it has a gematria of 16. And that gematria talks about when we get to the book, when we get to the Vav, we'll understand that the Vav itself means a hand, the Yud itself means a hand, and that Vav and Yud together means hook the hand, and that can be the meaning of the Zion. Another understanding of that, because the word Zion, which I don't want to get into today, but the word Zion actually represents a spiritual level of the city of Jerusalem. When the Gimel is made up of a Zion and a Gematria 17, which is the Gematria of the word Tov, which is good. Most times, the scribes are making it from the Vav. And the reason behind that is because the Vav and the Yud are two letters, the two male letters of the Tetragrammaton. And as such, those two male letters making up the Gimel are teaching us the Gimel is a male letter.
A what, neutral letter?
Say again, Joe.
A neutral letter?
No, a male letter. The letter is male.
Male letter, okay. Male. What does the bottom bar represent?
The bottom bar?
The base. The base of the Gimel.
The foot of the Gimel you're talking about?
Yeah. There's a Vav and there's a Yud on top. Right?
No, it's a Vav.
What's the bottom?
It's a Yud. It's not a Yud on top. The line and the top is a Vav, the hook of the Vav.
Okay, I got you. Okay. And the bottom is
bottom way. The Yud is
what's the Yud?
Otherwise,
so there's actually
to fall over because it's not standing straight. The sages describe the Gimel and its relationship to the Dalet, which is the next letter after it. Dalet means poor. And they describe the Gimel as running after the Dalet in order to share its leg, to share its Yud with the Dalet. And when that occurs, the Dalet becomes a head. But we'll describe that more the next time when we talk about the Dalet and the Hay. But the essence of the Gimel is the concept of a rich man running after the poor man to share with him.
Gimel
is running. Running is spelled Retz in Resh Sadi. Desire is spelled Ratzon. Resh Sadi Vav Nun. Within desire is the whole understanding of what is movement. Nobody moves unless there is a desire for something. Because we are connected to the Creator, and as such, as we try and emulate the Creator's attributes, the Creator has no desire, so he has no movement. But he's created us as desires so that we do have movement. It's one of the deeper understandings as you look at your own actions. What are you doing? Why are you moving? What is the desire that is causing you to do this? We all know people who are constantly fidgeting. My roommate in college couldn't stop his leg from vibrating up and down, up and down, up and down. As I was a boy, I was very much the same way. You know, as I've gotten older, I've gotten either lazier or less or more fulfilled in my desires because I don't do it as much. But the idea, we need to understand why we move. And this is the essence of what is the Gimel teaching us. The Gimel has three tagim. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on what is a tagim, what is a tag. But there are letters that have zero note. There are letters that have one, and there are letters that have three. And the idea behind the tag, well, not really behind it, but one of the effects of the tag as we, including the letters, any vessel, as it falls or it lowers itself to the physical world, as it goes through the worlds of Bria, Yetzirah and Asiya, the lower three worlds. The way it leaves the world above it is to take the light out of that area. But there is no disappearance in spirituality, so it's left with what's called a reshimo, a reshima, an impression. An impression is a connection to the lower level. A reshima is the way back, how we will find our way back through the paths that we've taken to get here. One of the questions we're asked in the grave is, what is your name? And one of that purposes is so that we can follow the reshima that we've left in those upper worlds. Relative to us, they're upper worlds. They're not the highest worlds. But any letter that has the tagim is telling you it's coming from a which world. It's telling you how it came into this world. The Gimel has the number value of 3. Now, one of the essences, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, but one of the essences of the Gimel is the concept of balance. And the concept of reward and punishment. Now, I don't like to use the word punishment, but in my research, it's the best word for this purpose. God does not punish. But sometimes God needs to wake us up. Sometimes he needs to stimulate us to stay on a spiritual path. And that stimulation we perceive as punishment. It really isn't punishment. And the whole idea within the concept of the letter Gimel, there's reward and punishment. There's cause and effect. Reward is an effect. Punishment is an effect. And they're both good. They both have their purpose. But Gimel is an effect, but it's in a main letter. How do we understand that? The fulfillment of the letter Gimel, the way it's fully spelled out, it's the only letter that uses four letters for that purpose. It's spelled Gimel Yud Mem Lamed. Mem Lamed is a word in Hebrew that it doesn't come across as positive. Gimel Yud has a gematria of 13, representing unity, God, oneness. The word Gimel, built into its spelled-out form, is this understanding of the positive, of the reward, and what we perceive as negative punishment. And they're both being good because they're both in the sense of balance. The Gimel, looking at the letter, there's a Yud in its foot that is supporting the Vav, or the Zion. The Vav in the Zion is not straight, it's slightly at an angle, 10 degrees type angle, it's not a big angle. But it's sufficiently there that it needs to be supported. And yet, the Gimel is running after the Dalet to share that Yud. The Yud represents the Tetragrammaton, it represents the light. The Vav represents the channel. The number three represents balance. One is unity. Two is duality, which is separation. And three is balance, which brings the two together. The unity of one plus the duality of two, we have three, the balance. Now, the word Gimel gets translated as four different meanings. The most well known is that it means a camel. Gimel, camel.
Gamel.
Say again?
Gamel.
Gamel.
Gamal.
Gamal.
One gal actually moved to Israel and I learned to speak Hebrew.
Hanoch, isn't it also like gmilut chasadim, that means like charity, and it makes so much sense that Gimel starts that word?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. We'll talk about it.
Oh, okay.
Besides the gamal, another meaning of the word gimel, or that spelling, is the word bridge. So what is the bridge? When we look at the Gimel running after the Dalet to form the hay, the hay represents the physical world. The Gimel in this sense is the bridge between the higher level, the hook, channeling the beneficence to the poor person, the people who lack. And that is where the physical world is manifested. Another meaning is the concept of weaning. And this is mercy, isn't it? You take a baby a year or two old, or you know, one of my friends waited till the child was four, but that's an unusual person. You wean the child. There's a lot of pain, there's a lot of disruption, there's a lot of discomfort in being weaned, because there's change in being weaned. But if you're never weaned, you never grow. And this is the same idea of what is truly chesed. What is the idea of I have to get to become an adult? I cannot be, you know, going to the breast till I'm 18 years old. There must come a time where the weaning takes place, where the separation takes place. It's uncomfortable, but it's good. And this is the idea of reward and punishment. The fourth word is benevolence. What does it mean to be benevolent? Well, one of the ideas of it inherent in the word benevolence is that you're talking about somebody above, sharing somebody below. You're not talking about equals. You're not benevolent to an equal. You're friends with an equal. You're helping an equal, but you're not benevolent to an equal. There's always a hierarchy built into the Gimel. Let's talk about the Gimel. Go ahead.
Benevolence means Gemela Chassidim or Gemela?
You're breaking up. Say it again, Joe.
Gemela Chassidim, Gemela is the benevolence, the meaning of benevolence, charity.
Charity.
Benevolence? You're asking the meaning of benevolence?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it means charity. In that context?
Charity is okay. Benevolence is much more than charity. Benevolence is an expression of love. But not between equals. And by the same token, a mother's love you wouldn't call benevolent. It's gradations, hierarchy, of levels of affinity, levels of affection. It is easy to understand concept for benevolence. People give charity to benevolent to another person, to assist them, to help them. I want to talk about the word gamel or camel. Because it's interesting to note that in the Kabbalah, the camel represents the angel of death. I read this, it didn't make any sense to me. How does a camel who walks across the desert carrying its own water represent the angel of death? And that's exactly the point. Why does a camel live in the desert? Who else lives in the desert? The desert is the home of the angel of death. The wilderness, an emptiness. Tohu vavohu. This is the home of the negative side. In the Zohar, it describes that the Milky Way the base of the negative system. Everybody looks at those stars and says, how beautiful. But it's empty. And what is science determining and figuring out? There's a black hole in the middle, right in the center of the galaxy. It's emptiness. But it portrays this beautiful illusion of these stars. A desert is the home of the negative of Satan. I'll tell you a quick story. There's a Kabbalist about 400 years ago who was trying to bring Mashiach. And so he was going to capture the Satan. And he went through various angels and various entities in the spiritual frames. And he didn't capture the Satan. And like always, the Satan fools us at the end and he escapes. But what way the world that the Satan lives in was described, it wasn't hell. It wasn't the heat. It was a desert. It was empty. There was nothing there but the Satan. And they walked, after the Satan was captured, they walked for days through this emptiness, this wilderness. And this is the nature of the camel, who walks carrying its own water, its own chesed, its own life force, because you need the water in the desert. No ability to share that. The nature of the camel is the angel of death, because without sharing, there is no life. And the other side of the gimel, as we said before, every letter has, from the same essence, has a positive and a negative. The negative is the angel of death. The positive of the gimel is life. Because it's sharing its foot. It's sharing the yud. It's running after the poor person to share, which is the form, the process of living, creating life. The same thing applies to the concept of weaning. Weaning is positive because it implies a state of growth. You're moving from a place of total support to a place of not as much support. You're on the path to maturity. The negative aspect of the weaning, it's uncomfortable, it's change. The child isn't ready to make that transition, and he's upset. And she finds it difficult as well. Let's talk about the three. Our sages have said repeatedly in many different places in many different ways. The Torah has three parts. The Chumash, the five books of Moses, the prophets, the Nevi'im, and the Ketuvim, the writings. Three parts. The Jewish nation has three parts. The Kohanim, the priests, the Levites, those who served in the temple and sang, and the Israeli, the rest of the nation. The Jewish nation is a function of three, a function of three. The world stands on three things, according to the sages. Torah study, service to Hashem, which is considered prayer, and good deeds, doing mitzvot. Hashem, Eretz Yisrael, and Am Yisrael are all one. Another phrase from the Torah, phrase from the sages. Three parts, God, Israel, and land. What does three truly represents? I alluded to it, I said it earlier, 1 + 2 = 3. But three represents the balance point. And the understanding that's most important to deal with, the balance point isn't equal. If I divide 3 by 2, I get 1.5. I have 1.5 on one side of the balance and 1.5 on the other side of the balance. That's not the middle point according to Kabbalah. Because the sharing must exceed the receiving. Slightly more emphasis on sharing than receiving. You can never share more than you receive. But the consciousness is to share, not to receive. And yet we were created as receptions, as vessels to receive, desire to receive. And we have to understand that concept as how it relates to the number 3 and how it relates to Gimel. What does the Gimel do? What is its essence as we look at the Gimel? In the Sefer Yetzirah, and we'll talk about this in the next couple of weeks in our Monday night class on the Sefer Yetzirah, there is a concept of running and returning. It's a concept of how we deal with our intuition versus our logical understanding. We run to the intuition, we get a flash, we have to bring it down to the level of understanding. We have to work it. We have to take the idea and see if it's feasible. And then we go back to the intuition. Back and forth, run and return, back and forth. This is the way our minds work. This is the way our thought processes are designed. And this is the Gimel. If you look at the letter again, you see the Vav. The Vav is a hook. The Vav is a channel. The Vav draws from the top, representing the higher worlds and channels the beneficence to the lower worlds of the foot. Why is the yud on the ground? Why is the yud at the foot of the Gimel? Why is the yud running after the poor person? It's running and returning. It runs to the poor person to share, and returns to the Vav to receive more. Running and returning. Always in movement. This is the nature of a vessel. Always in lack. Even when you're fulfilled, you're in lack because there's now more desire. The phrase Gemilot Chasadim, supporting the with Chesed, mercy, as it is essentially it's a concept of sharing. And if we look at the gimel itself, the foot represents the kindness, the mercy, but it came down from the upper worlds. We have to run to share it with the poor person and run back to get more. Weaning is that removal of kindness. Mother's milk is total kindness, total sharing. Everything is in it. But we wean the child, we remove him from this, and it's consistent. So removal of one kindness and restoral or growth into another kindness, that of becoming an adult, of learning to demonstrate free will. The Aramaic word gamla is a bridge. The gimel is a bridge between heaven and earth, between the poor man, actually the doorway to the physical world, the Dalit, and the higher world, the blessing of the bracha. Between the bet and the Dalit stands the gimel, a bridge between heaven and earth. If we take the gimel, its fully spelled out form, we are taking, we permute letters, we can form a word called galem. Galem means primordial formless matter, emptiness, formless, yet there's something there. Through sharing, through the yud at the bottom as the foot, running after the dalit, we learn to transform galem into eretz, into our worth, into a garden, into the beneficence, the way the light wants us to do it. This is all within the gimel. This is all the nature of the number three. Israel bonds to the Torah. Torah bonds to God. Israel has a direct bond to God. Israel has a direct bond to God, but through what? How does Israel bond to God? Through meditation. I guess I'm losing Joe. Israel bond to God. One way is through meditation, one way is prayer, one way is by doing good deeds. Bonding to God just means emulate his traits. What is his ultimate trait? He doesn't move. He has no desire. One of the ways, one of the issues involved in the gimel is dilution. Separation that creates dilution. the shofar blasts are done in sets of three. There's a positive, long blast, a short, broken up, middle blast. It may be three, or it may be nine blasts, but it's basically a broken middle. And then followed by a long blast, the positive at the end. The positive is separating and also diluting the strength of the satan. That's the purpose of the shofar. Make the satan forget to prosecute you. By you hearing that shofar, by the meditation of the person blowing the shofar, we are able to reach this idea of separating and diluting. Separating us from the judgment and diluting the judgment so that it's not meaningful, not difficult. It's called sweetening the judgment. I'm going to read a short passage from the book Olivet by Doug Leitner, explaining the relationship in the Gimel to both Adonai, the name of God in the physical world, and the Tetragrammaton, the name of God in the spiritual world. And that's on page 206. The Mispar Katan of Gimel is 11. Mispar Katan is a small gematria. It's where you take, if a number has 10, 20, or 30, you just count it as 1, 2, or 3. You drop the zeros. If it has 100, you make it 1 also. You drop those zeros. Joe, we cannot understand you, so you're going to have to disconnect again. The Mispar Katan of Gimel is 11, which equates to the Mispar Katan of Hashem's name of Adonai. So we see that the Gimel in spelled out form as a is equal to Adonai, the name of God dealing in the physical world. The Gimel is also equal to 26. When adding the Mispar Katan of the levels of this relative sequence, that's when you take each letter of the spelled out form, and it's sometimes called a square. So in this case, the Gimel, the letter by itself, is called Gematria, is 3. The Gimel Yud, the first two letters, is 13, which becomes small gematria 4. Gimel Yud Mem in small gematria becomes 3 plus 10 plus 40 becomes 8. And the fully spelled word 3 plus 10 plus 40 plus 30 equals 11. If we now add 3 plus 4 plus 8 plus 11, we get 26, which is the name of Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, the Gematria. And we can see that within the Gimel, we have the connection to the physical world and the spiritual world. This is the nature of what the number 3 is. This is the nature of the Gimel. It is protection. It is also the negative aspect. But the negative aspect is a positive approach. Reward and punishment. Understanding it as reward and punishment. Understanding that what feels uncomfortable is good for you. that's a horrible thing for a teacher to say. God forbid, you have cancer, and I'm telling you it's good for you. And I have said that to people. And I know it's true. I said it to myself when I was diagnosed with cancer. And I know exactly how crazy it sounds. It's good for you. Why is it good for you? Because you have an opportunity to change it. You have an opportunity to correct it. Cancer does not mean you die. Heart attacks do not mean you die. They are not the cause of death. The Satan, the angel of death, is the cause of death, and nothing else. This is an important aspect of learning, of growing for the human species. This is how we will swallow up death forever. But I also know that we're not there yet. And it hurts to hear it. By the same token, take the opportunity for these painful events in your life to grow from them. Every time you have pain in your life, you've grown. Every time, without exception. Cannot be any other way. It is the nature of our world. Does anybody have questions? Send me an email with the question. Any other questions? Announcements. Tonight and tomorrow, I was getting married. It's Tu B'Av. It's a very happy day. And both Tamara and I are very happy that we're getting married, but not tomorrow. Tu B'Av is an extremely happy day. Use the energy. If you don't have a vessel for that much energy, and it is an enormous amount of energy, be happy anyway. Learn and grow from the pain. God forbid there is any tomorrow. We're out of the 3 weeks. It's not the same. Enjoy Tu B'Av. It truly is a very special holiday. It is the total unity of male and female in a spiritual sense, and we can make it in the physical sense. Monday night, well, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 5 p.m. California time, we have Zohar studies every day. And Thursday night at 10 p.m., we have a Zohar study. 7 p.m. Monday, we have Sifrei Yetzirah. Tuesday, 10 p.m., we have a study with Rabbi Brandwein, reading from his letters to Rabbi Berg. Phenomenal material. Wednesday, 7 p.m., we have 10 examinations. Highly recommended. Connie, we're not using the Hebrew words as often. You would enjoy it. Try it again. 7 p.m., 10 Lumen Examinations. At 10 p.m., we teach from Rabbi Ashlag's writings. He has 12 basic essays, but there's even more after that. And Thursday at 10 p.m., they said, is the Zohar class. And next Sunday at 10 a.m., another discussion of the Gimel. Or maybe we'll do the Dalit, I'm not sure. If you feel that the Gimel is complete, let me know. Of course, any letter is never complete. There's always more to learn. Are there any questions? Joe, can we hear you now?
Yeah, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, do you have a question you wanted to ask?
Yeah. The stuff that I missed, the illuminations, whether the different gematrias showing that how the bay and the gimel, the bay and the dalal, the gimel is supposed to deliver. That you're saying?
You broke up, so I wasn't able to follow you. You're asking about the gimel and the dalal and the relationship.
Okay.
Have a beautiful Tuba'av. Enjoy the
week. You and Tamar too. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Okay.
Shalom.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.